In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And, O Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. Save me and rescue me from all my pursuers. Amen. So glad to be with you today, right before this 4th of July holiday, and very much looking forward to traveling, heading over to Australia, the land down under, for a two-week speaking tour there. And so very excited about that. And, you know, sometimes people ask me, you know, why do you travel so much? Or, well, it must be exciting getting on a plane and going to all these different places around the world. And, you know, a couple of things I want to say about that. First of all, it's sometimes I don't even believe it myself, to be completely honest with you. Sometimes I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing on this plane? I mean, I'm some just regular guy from Jersey, you know, immigrant to the United States. And all of a sudden I find myself writing books and traveling. I mean, things I literally never thought I would envision myself ever doing. And now I'm doing it. And I do it because that's what the Lord wants. It's plain and simple. It's what God wants at this point in my life right now. And I'm trying to be as faithful as possible to what God wants me to do. And so so if he says, go here, I go there. You know, it does says, go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, I won't be doing any baptizing, but maybe helping to, through the word that's proclaimed and me being an instrument of Christ, maybe people will be baptized with the Spirit and be drawn into deeper intimacy with the Lord. You know, so sometimes, you know, I not so much overseas, but some of these other things, I travel so much, I don't want to go sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Just like, here we go again. But I don't take it for granted either. It's a gift. And I understand that. And I'm trying to be as faithful as possible to everything that God wants me to do. Because I know at the stand of my life, the end of my life, I got to stand before him and give an account. You know, how did you use those talents I gave you, Deacon? And, well, I didn't want to travel this week. I didn't feel like it. So, you know, I mean, obviously I have conversations with my wife and stuff like that. But I don't go anywhere unless she says it's okay and the Holy Spirit says yes, too. So, but I have to be faithful, you know. And when I am enjoying what I'm doing, and I'm thrilled to be doing this. I'm thrilled to be doing this show for EW10. It's just a tremendous blessing. And I also go because I want to be there in person. You know, during the pandemic, well, there were many sad and tragic things. The number one, of course, was not being able to receive the Eucharist, not being able to go to Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That was bad. And the other thing is not being together with people. You know, we're an incarnational church. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? The Word didn't become flesh to have a Zoom meeting. You know, the Lord wanted to touch us with his own hands and love us with his own heart. And so when the pandemic was lifted, we need to come back together again. Yes, during the pandemic, you know, I did about actually closer to 60 different online events, providing, you know, conferences and retreats and things like that online. Because when your friends call and ask you to do it, and I'm not traveling, what else am I going to do? So during that time, like Steve Ray gave me a call, and Matt Fred and Jason Everett and others called me and said, hey, Deacon, I'm doing this online thing. Would you be part of it? I said, of course I will, you know. So I did them. But now, you know, I don't do them anymore because it's time to be back in person. It's time to be with each other again. And so that's why I go as well. I think that I'm most effective as God's instrument when I'm in front of people. And here's the thing. Some of you won't believe this, but I'm actually an introvert. You know, small talk and being in crowds is actually very, very uncomfortable for me. Because remember, I used to be a monk back in my early 20s. So So I still crave. That's why adoration is such like home for me. Being before Christ in adoration is like being home. I'm very comfortable in Eucharistic adoration. I love being by myself. I love my alone time. So sometimes it's a little bit much. Being with that many people for any extended length of time. But again, I do it. I mean, think about it. I mean, there's people that aren't going to eat today. Right? I mean, there's people that are living on the street, and they're going to be homeless. And I'm not. So I'm definitely not complaining. I'm just saying that sometimes the Lord puts you not where you want to be, but where He needs you. Right? Where He needs you. So I'm grateful to be going to Australia, and it's going to be winter there. So I'm going to avoid. We just got some kind of heat advisory on my phone, a heat advisory for Portland, excessive heat warning, and they're supposed to start tomorrow on the 4th of July and go through the weekend. So I'm going to avoid that. Instead, I'll be freezing. But that's okay. I'll take the cold over the heat any day. Well, today, my friends, on Beacon of Truth, it is Word of God Wednesday. So it's time for you to break open your Bibles and grab them for the Word of God. Grab those Bibles and open them up. We're going to look at John chapter 20, 24 to 29. Why? Because today is the feast of Saint Thomas. You know, the one, the apostle that doubted God. That doubted the resurrection account from his friends. But he's an apostle, but he's so much like us in so many ways. We're going to talk about doubting Thomas and struggles with our own doubts about our faith, our own doubts in trusting Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. Grab your Bibles. It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth, John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29 today on Beacon of Truth. I have not gotten an update recently from Ace, so that's good because he should be spending time with his family, not trying to communicate with me. But I'm sure he's having a wonderful time. And again, as we head into this 4th of July, I'm going to say extended weekend, right? Extended weekend, because tomorrow is Thursday, July 4th. So I'm assuming many people will, take the day off on Friday and kind of extend that into Friday as well, which will be awesome. So just want you guys to be safe out there, especially if you're driving on the roads. Please be responsible. And even if you see someone. And you're at a party or a picnic or something like that, someone that should not be getting behind the wheel of the car, and you see that, make sure that they either get a Lyft or Uber or rideshare or a taxi or something like that home, or you take them home yourself. It's always better to be safe, and make sure that you're being a friend. And being a neighbor, right? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself, right? So we want to make sure everybody's staying safe out there. And also, if you get a chance, head to Mass. Head to Mass in the morning. So that'll be, I think that's a wonderful thing to head to Mass and just give thanks to God, for the independence, the 4th of July, and the great liberties that we're able to have here. In the United States, that we should not be taken for granted, that we should be grateful for those freedoms that we enjoy that many other people around the world don't get to enjoy. So take opportunity to, if you have a chance, go spend some time with Jesus, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, or head to adoration as well. So either one of those two things I think would be awesome. So in the meantime. Guys, we're going to be, again, breaking open God's Word today. Would love for you to be part of the program. Give us a call. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can also email us at beacon@ewtn.com. You can also text the letters EWTN to 58160. 877, wait for a response, and text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And don't forget, we're going to be coming back with Soulful Psalms in the next segment. So you get a double feeding of the Word of God today on Wednesdays, on Word of God Wednesday. So we're going to take a look at the Psalms. And remember that the Soulful Psalms segment is now its own podcast. You can go to EW10PodcastCentral.com, or you can go to, you know, one of your favorite podcast outlets, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Apple Music, whatever it may be, and download it there. Well, today is Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29 on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-3986. Yeah, getting you ready and excited for the 4th of July extended holiday weekend by giving you some music that you can bob your head to, and I like that. Again, I like the strings back there too. I'm a sucker for strings in songs, so I really like those strings as part of that as well. Well, my friends, it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's word today in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29, because today is the feast of Saint Thomas the Apostle, Doubting Thomas. So we're going to take a look at those passages regarding him today. Phone number to be with us today is 833-288-3986. And here's another great way to get EWTN Radio. Check out the iHeart Radio's app. iHeartRadio has their own app. So if you have the iHeartRadio app, you can listen to EWTN Radio live stream. Go to iHeartRadio and search for EWTN. How awesome is that? There's so many wonderful ways you connect to EWTN through the EWTN app, iHeart, and so many other ways to stay connected so that EWTN can help bring you to a deeper love and intimacy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, my friends, well, when you hear that music, it is time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm number 6, Psalm 6. And as usual, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms, a liturgical psalter approved for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by the U.S. bishops. And it's translated by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And so we're looking at Psalm 6. Of course, Psalm 6 is in Book 1 of the Psalms, Psalms 1 to 41, all of them attributed to David, as is this one. The prescript for Psalm 6 is the entire first verse. And here's what it says. For the choir master, with stringed instruments, upon the eighth chord, a psalm of David. So this is very interesting instrumentation here. So David wrote the psalm. He gave it to the choir master to put music to. Again, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22 to see the entire list of the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. So you'll see guys like Jeduthun in there. You'll see Heman and Etan, which were part of the clan of the tribe of Levi. As well, and it's upon with string instruments. So David had strings in his mind when he wanted this psalm music to this psalm upon the eighth chord. So what is an eighth chord? There's several different musical instruments that were used. Like as we heard the other day in the Psalms, that there were flutes, there was the harp. There's several different instruments. Some of them have survived and to morphed into other instruments. Like some of these are what the modern day harp or the guitar or the lute or the lyre and things like that. So these, he had a specific instrument and a specific string instrument in mind for this particular psalm. And so the psalm starts in verse number 2. O Lord, Do not rebuke me in your anger. Reprove me not in your rage. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I languish. Lord, heal me. My bones are shaken. My soul is greatly shaking. Wow. So, again, I love the way David starts his Psalms here. So he's going, again, he's struggling with something. This is probably during the persecution that he trying to run away from Saul during Saul's persecution of him, which is 1 Samuel 18 through 28. So basically from 1 Samuel 18 to the rest of that book talks about Saul pursuing David. And so he's asking the Lord here, do not rebuke me in your anger. Because look, again, here's the emotion. We talked about this the other day. God is not angry, okay? Because God has no emotions. God is pure spirit. God is pure love, right? 1 John 4:16, God is love. Love is God's very existence and being is love itself. But when something is happening in your life, and you're going through something negative, right? Sometimes we attribute what's happening to us to God. So I'm going through this struggle right now. God must be angry with me. Well, of course, God's not angry with you. But again, as human beings, we're trying to express what we're feeling, right? And we're lifting that up in prayer. Sometimes we say, well, God is angry, or God is mad, or God is vengeful, or God, right? So we apply human emotions to God to try to explain and understand what we're going through ourselves. So he says, oh Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Reprove me not in your rage. Right? So of course, anger and rage are not attributes of God, but here David's ascribing to them to better understand his situation. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I languish. Now the appeal, now the prayer, now the cry. Lord, heal me. My bones are shaking and my soul is greatly shaken. So he's suffering in body and soul, not just physically, but spiritually. So he asked God to heal him in his whole person, body and soul. Right? And so same thing with us, whether we have a physical ailment or not, you know, we all suffer spiritually at some point in our lives, struggle with sin, disappointments from other people, vices, bad habits, all those different things. And so we ask God for healing so we can, our hearts can be more whole and our lives can be more full in the Spirit of the living God. And he continues here. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, Lord, rescue my soul. See, he says, return, Lord. So here he feels like God is not with him. God is away from him. Maybe, you know, God's on vacation. Lord, excuse me. I know you're busy, but look at me over here. You know, it's basically what David is saying. Pay attention to me, Lord. Look what I'm going through right now. It feels like you're away from me. Of course, God is never away from us. And we see David also expressing this in Psalm 22, which is one of the messianic Psalms of fulfillment. My God, why have you forsaken me? Which is the words that our Lord prayed from the cross on Good Friday. Of course, the God, the Father, never abandoned his Son. Of course he didn't. But in his human nature, Jesus was allowed to experience what that feeling of emptiness and desolation and isolation that we've all felt when we're going through something really hard and we feel that God's not there. That's not the reality. But it feels like in that moment that God is not there. So David is expressing this here in Psalm 6 as well. Return, Lord, rescue my soul. Save me in your merciful love. Hesed there in Hebrew, merciful love, the merciful love of God. So God, be merciful to me and save me. This is what Jesus did on the cross. The cross and Jesus dying on the cross and giving up his life and sacrificing himself for our sins is an act of divine mercy, is an act of merciful love. So that's what David wants to receive again from the Lord. For in death, there is no remembrance of you. From the grave, who can give you praise? Right? So my soul is kind of mired in the mud. Here, Lord. And, you know, if I die, who can praise you? Right? Nobody dead can praise you. You know, help me to get through this so I can continue to praise you, not just with my words, but by the witness of my life. Love this. And verse 7, now he continues to express his frustration to the Lord. I am exhausted with my groaning. Every night I drench my bed with tears. I bedew my couch with weeping. My eyes waste away with grief. I have grown old, surrounded by my foes. Wow. I mean, we can definitely relate to that for sure. Because when we're going through something difficult, a physical ailment, and we're suffering almost continually, where we have chronic pain or chronic mental illness, you know, whether that be depression and anxiety, whether that be bipolar or whatever it is that we're suffering with, you know, and we cry literally, not just cry out with our hearts, but David's talking about, he's literally crying, drenching his couch with tears. Like every night he's crying out to the Lord, and we've all been there. You know, my eyes waste away with grief. He's just so torn by what's going on. And I've grown old, surrounded by my foes, right? So it feels like, again, he's getting, as he progresses in age, as he progresses over time, it doesn't feel like things are getting better. He's surrounded by his foes, he says. And again, we're going through something difficult. We're still sometimes surrounded by people that don't believe in God, you know, that people that are trying to take our voice away. We try to express our beliefs as people of faith, as Catholics. When we try to stand up for a culture of life, where we respect all life from the moment of conception to natural death, people are going to push against us. Right? David calls those people our enemies. Of course, they're not our enemies, you know, but they are people that we need to reach out to with this merciful love of God, to witness to them, not with anger and hatred and animosity, but with the love of God, right? With the heart of faith. So people that that don't know what matrimony is, right? People that that believe it's okay, that war is okay, and they don't want to do things to take care of the environment and those kinds of things like that. So these are all good things that God calls us to do, but it's hard to do them when we're in pain. It's hard to do these things when we're suffering. Right? Jesus even says, love your enemies and pray for them. Come on, let's be real. When's the last time you prayed for somebody that you are angry, like really angry with, and you prayed for that person? Come on, that's just not a natural thing that God's asking us to do. It's supernatural. That's the point. That we can only sometimes love the way that we're called to love by Jesus with his strength, not our own strength. On our own, we can't do nothing, right? And Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing, he tells us in his word. And so it's not to get disheartened, but to raise our voices in praise to God, to cry out to him, just as David has done here. And the last few verses here, leave me, all you who do evil, for the Lord heeds the sound of my weeping. The Lord, okay, now here's, you see, now he knows the Lord's going to help him here. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will receive my prayer. All my foes will be shamed and greatly shaken, suddenly put to shame. So at the very end of this psalm here, David says, look, I know what I'm going through is hard. I know I'm being surrounded by my enemies here. But you know what? I trust in the Lord. I'm going to keep pleading to him. I'm going to keep praying. And I know that God will come through because he is a God of love. Beautiful. Well, we're breaking open God's word today. Word of God Wednesday on this feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. We're looking at Doubting Thomas. So grab your Bibles and join us. 833-288-3986. Yeah. Oh, you gotta love that, I'm telling you. Yeah, nice little bass fill there. Sometimes you have to have songs that just kind of lift you up, right? Just make you feel good. And that's what we're doing today as we head into this Wonderful July 4th weekend. This is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, today is Word of God Wednesday, and we're breaking open God's Word in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Why? Because today is the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, good old Doubting Thomas. So we're going to take a look at those verses that talk about Thomas today on his feast day. Now, would love to hear from you. I would love to hear some of your doubts. Maybe you were at a point in your life where you doubted that God was going to come through, and then God came through in a powerful way. Maybe you want to share with us how you came into the church through a faith in Jesus Christ that you doubted. Maybe you were atheist. Maybe you were just agnostic. Maybe for some reason you were angry with God, and God brought you back, you know, and somehow spiritually God touched you. Right, you reached your hands into his side, and you touched the Lord, or he touched you in a way that moved you to a deeper love of him. Would love to hear from you today. Or maybe how you share your faith with people who are doubting. Right? Love to hear from you today. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And join us for Women of Grace with Johnette Williams, who's awesome. Join Women of Grace on Monday through Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. You don't want to miss that. Johnette Williams shows you how to embrace the Catholic life with joy and peace. Great show. Again, Women of Grace, Monday through Friday mornings, 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Fantastic. All right. Well, let's dive into God's Word. Grab your Bibles. Open them up to John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. So let's read this real quick. This is not very long. And plus, I love this. I love this. Here's the five verses here that we're going to talk about today on this Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. Now, okay, let's set this up. Now, remember, this is the evening of the resurrection. This is Easter night. 10 of the apostles are gathered in the upper room. Why only 10? We know that Judas hung himself and that Thomas was not there that first time. We don't know where Thomas was. No idea. And so while the 10 of them are there, Jesus comes in and he says, "Peace be with you." And they were happy to see the Lord. He said, again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you retain, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retained are retained." So he gave specific and direct authority in the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive sins in his name to those apostles. Okay? So now, a week later, the apostles are gathered in the upper room again, 11 of them, because this time Thomas was there, right? So now, this is where we pick it up. John 20, 24. "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe.' 8 days later, the apostles were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.'" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Jesus appears to his apostles and says, "Peace be with you." Why? Precisely because they were not at peace. They were afraid. They were filled with fear. Why? They had just killed Jesus. He was just crucified and buried just a couple days before. They think, we're next. We're next. So they're basically hiding out. That's why in the upper room with the door locked. They don't want anybody to know where they are. Because, oh, they went after Jesus. They're going to come after us next. So they're living in fear. And that's something we can definitely relate to. Because today, because we don't trust in God's mercy enough, we keep Jesus at an arm's distance so that our lives don't have to change. Right? And that's one thing. When we're not in a place where we need to be in our spiritual life, we get complacent, we get a little bit lazy. And when we get lazy, we get comfortable. Right? And so Jesus had to make the apostles uncomfortable in order to kind of wake them up, get them out of the mindset they were in, and get them on the course, on the right course to helping bring people to a deeper love of Christ, helping draw people more intimately and deeply into the life of God. So, but when we don't do that, we don't want to get too close to Jesus, right? Or let Jesus get too close to us. Because when we do, his tender mercy will transform us. But we're too comfortable where we are right now in our lives. We have to allow God's love and mercy to change us. So all of the, and remember, often people want to just point to Thomas. Look what Thomas doubted. But hold on a second, hold on. All of the apostles doubted. Remember? When Mary Magdalene, remember she was at the tomb, and the Lord appeared to her, and she ran back and told them that she had seen Jesus risen from the dead. They all doubted her. Not just Thomas, they all did. So sometimes we go point fingers at Thomas, but all of the apostles doubted until, of course, Jesus appeared to them, and then that second time to Thomas. So Thomas, he at the point when he doubted, he could have left the apostle, but he came back. Because think about it, he comes back from wherever he was. We have seen the Lord. Okay, Thomas, like, okay, well, hold on, wait, what's going on here? You know they killed him, right? I mean, come on, the crucifixion, he was buried. What do you mean you saw Jesus? You guys must be delusional. I mean. It's not far-fetched. Think about this for a second. Say you had someone that you loved that died. Then a couple days later, someone says, oh, I saw such and such. So first of all, you think, okay, you saw somebody that looked like them. You know, you saw somebody that maybe had similar features, but there's no way you could possibly have seen this person I love because I was there at the funeral. I was there at the gravesite when they were buried. You probably saw someone that looked like them, you know, what's that word they use for somebody what's that word that they have somebody that looks like you, that could be a twin, right? Like they call Thomas the twin. Maybe it's something like that, but no, you could possibly have seen the person. And so you doubt it. Look, I'm only going to believe you if I actually see the person and talk to them and touch them, then I know it's really them. And you know, when he said that, he probably had thought, okay, let me give them a little dose of reality here, right? They thought they saw you. Maybe they think they were seeing a ghost. I don't know what they thought they saw, but look, unless I put my hand, so it's not just a matter he didn't believe them. He's trying to also wake them up. Hey guys, look, reality check here. I have to touch him to know that this is real. That this is just not a ghost like what you think you saw, right? So I think that's part of it is going on there too. So we have on YouTube, we have London chiming in. When I had pain, I doubted God, but he was there for me. But I always prayed, even through the pain, she always prayed. Now, thank God, I am pain free. Oh, praise Jesus. I'm so glad that he answered your prayer there, London. And we love to hear from you. We love to hear maybe some of your doubts, some of your fears, how you overcame those doubts. Maybe you have some doubts right now. By your witness, you've helped people who have doubted. Maybe you have friends, coworkers who have doubted. And maybe through your witness and example, or through EW10. We'd love to hear some EW10 stories about how people you may watch in a network who maybe were doubting came to belief in faith. That's the story of my father, for sure, through EW10. Would love to hear from you today. The phone number is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Would love to hear from you today. All right. So how can we see God without empirical evidence? Right? How can we see God without, again, without the evidence that Thomas wanted, being able to physically touch the Lord and put my hand in the nail marks and in his side? In Romans chapter 1, St. Paul says this, I think it's starting around verse 19 or so. He says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely, his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." So Paul makes the case in Romans that we can come to know God, at least to know that God exists through his eternal power and deity by his creation, by the things that we have seen, by things that he has made. Now, atheists will try to say it was just random circumstance, or it just, a series of random, events that caused things to happen right now. No. To have the human life the way we experience it today, the odds of it being by chance, there are better odds that a primate, like an ape or a chimpanzee, could transcribe all the works of Shakespeare, type them out on a computer without making a mistake. Those odds are better than this random chance that we just kind of showed up through a random accident of the universe. No. Even Paul understood this back in Romans. In the next chapter, Romans chapter 2, he says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." All right, oops. So faith alone. Not faith alone. The hearers of the law are not righteous before, it's the doers of the law will be justified. "When Gentiles who have not the law do by nature what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law." So he's talking about here the natural moral law, that place within our hearts that's placed there by God, where we can come to know who he is by reason alone, right? And Paul continues here, "They show what the law requires is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness to their conflicting thoughts, accuse or practice, excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus." So he says through the nature we can see and the natural moral law that God's implanted into our hearts, that we can come to know Christ. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe," he's not just, "Well, just believe it because I say it." No, Paul is showing us that through nature, through the world, and through the natural moral law in our hearts, that we can come to know God. So we can have a deep, lasting, intimate faith in God without seeing it, as the Lord said. So we'd love to hear from you today. We're talking about Doubting Thomas on Word of God Wednesday. You listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers on this Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. We're taking a look at Thomas and his doubts and the Apostles' doubts and all of our doubts sometimes. When we doubt the power of God, when we're struggling with something, and we would love to hear from you. If you have struggles, if you had doubts in your life, how you overcame them, we'd love to hear from you. If you know people in your life that through maybe EWTN or through something that you've said or your example have overcome their doubts, you have friends who are atheists that come to know the truth, would love to hear from you today. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Xenia on YouTube says, "Thomas had the courage to be out and about, quote, shopping, while the rest were hiding. You know, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Because the reason why they were in the upper room, because they were afraid. They were in fear. But they had to eat. I mean, so they probably volunteers. Okay, who's going to go out and get something to eat? And looking around. Probably Thomas said, "Okay, guys, I'll do it. You know, stay here. I'll be back." And then he left. And then Jesus came. Now that I don't think. Now look, Jesus is God, and God's timing is always perfect. I think that God, that the Lord knew that Thomas wasn't going to be there. And God knew that that the other apostles would share the good news. I think, in a sense, he was also preparing them for their work. Because remember, after Pentecost, they had to go out and they were proclaiming Jesus to people who have not seen him, but yet they're preaching Jesus and belief in Jesus. And these people have not seen him. They don't know Jesus personally. Like the apostles did. So I think by not being there and then showing up the second time while Thomas is there and seeing, where Thomas moves from incredulity to deep faith, where he does that beautiful statement, "My Lord and my God," right? What deep, beautiful faith, that beautiful confession of faith. We'd love to hear from you today about your confession of faith and your faith in the Lord, especially during times that you were doubting, you know, like Thomas did today. Maybe you were doubting, you were struggling. We'd love to hear from you today. Share your story of how you've overcome doubt, how you overcome fear. Maybe you had an atheist friend and you're witnessing to them and God is doing some awesome things in their life. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. All right, so blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. See, when we come before the priest in confession, we hear those beautiful words of absolution, right? When, you know, so prior to Thomas coming in, Jesus gave them the power and authority to forgive sins. And some people say, what happened to Thomas? Did Thomas get that authority too? Because he wasn't there. Well, I'm sure. It's not recorded in the scriptures there, but I'm sure Jesus gave him the same authority that he gave the other apostles and breathed on him as well. So that he can share in that ministry, share in that empowerment that the Lord gave to the rest of the 10 apostles that were there. And so when we are in confession, we're hearing the words of Jesus, those beautiful words of absolution. We walk out of that confession with the knowledge, the unshakable knowledge, that our sins have been removed from our souls. That is, the slate is wiped clean, you know, through the power of the priesthood, you know, in his merciful love. Why? He gave us the priest because he still wants to touch us with his own hands. He still wants to love us with his own heart, so he gave us the gift of the priesthood. The Lord, and through that great gift of God's mercy and that sacrament of reconciliation, the Lord looks us right in the face, just as he looked Thomas in the face 2,000 years ago, and he says, "Doubt no longer, but believe." Doubt no longer, but believe. You know, so maybe I know people are sometimes struggling in their marriages, and they said, "Oh, there's no way we can get through this. You know, there's no way we can get past this. No way we can get beyond this." You know, because infidelity or addiction to pornography, whatever it may be, these are real struggles. These are real challenges. These are things that do raise doubts in our mind. You know, but Lord, in his faith and his merciful love, helps us to overcome those challenges, helps us to overcome our doubts and our fears. And sometimes we just have to step out in faith. I remember, today's July 3rd. So it was 12 years ago on the 30th. So early this week, it was the 12th anniversary of my leaving my 23-year career to step out in faith to to do what I'm doing now, speaking and writing on the Catholic faith. Now, you got to understand, I was scared. I was like those apostles in the upper room. That's me. I was scared. I was doubtful. You know, but I did it. I mean, I tried to talk God out of it. It didn't work. I tried to talk to people that would try to talk me out of it. That didn't work. Because every door I shut, God opened another one. But God was saying to me in adoration during that whole time, doubt no longer but believe, Deacon. Doubt no longer but believe, Deacon. And my mind was going, but I got a family to support, and I got bills, and I got responsibilities, and how am I supposed to do that? You know? But those are real doubts, and those are real fears. And now I look back, and I laugh. I say, what was I scared of? What was I afraid of? What was I worried about? God's got this. You know, but often when you're going through it, that's hard. We'd love to hear from you today. We're talking about doubting Thomas, the doubts, the fear, the anxiety, how you overcame them with the power of the divine mercy and God's incredible, beautiful, merciful heart. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. So... when with that feeling of peace, right? That's when we can move forward in love. Because unless we work to overcome those doubts, overcome those fears, we can't have peace. And without that peace, it's hard for us to move forward in love, right? It's hard for us to move forward in love. And so the sacrament of reconciliation, coming before our Lord in adoration, spiritual direction, praying the rosary, you know, all these things that we can do to really help us move us into a place of trust in God's love. And we're going to talk with Laura now, calling from the Philadelphia area, Philadelphia, PA. Well, on the other side of the state from where I grew up. I grew up on the New York side of New Jersey. She's calling from the Philadelphia area on the other side of Jersey by Trenton. And she's listening on EWTN Radio. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi. I was listening to you asking for callers to share a story of faith, right?
Yes.
So it's another whole story about Red Rose Rescue and pro-life activism. I won't get into that, but I was in jail a year ago right now in Long Island for Red Rose Rescue misdemeanor trespass. While I was in the holding tank, I had a very angry, upset woman come into the cell with me. And for an hour straight, she was very upset about, I can't believe I messed up. I can't believe I messed up. My mom just died, and I'm going to miss her funeral now because I'm in jail. And I asked her at one point, can I pray for you? No, don't touch me. Don't talk to me. And then after another hour or two, she sat down next to me and let me hold her hand, and we started us just listening to her for another 2 hours about everything. And then I asked her, can I pray for you now? And she's like, yes, please pray for me, Laura. We prayed a whole bunch of stuff about God's will in her life and trying to get off drugs. And dear God, if it be your will you please let somebody bail Cynthia out? And she was just going on and on about eventually saying, I am so sorry I yelled at you at first. I can't believe how much it mattered that you just listened to me. Thank you, Laura. And thank you for praying for me. Well, about an hour later, she got bailed out. And her eyes popped open, and she looked at me, and she hugged me. And she's like, thank you, Laura. Thank you so much. I know God heard our prayers.
Yeah,
and she left the jail.
I love that. That is so, Laura. Let me tell you something. I am so joyful and blessed that you called. That was an awesome story of how God removed the doubt and the fear. And hopefully, Laura, let's keep praying for her. Let's keep praying for her that she'll come to a deeper faith. That this experience is not just a one-off. It's a deep experience of Christ. Trying to get to Julie in Arizona calling on Sirius XM. She wanted to tell us how EWTN brought her back to the faith during COVID, but I don't think we're going to have enough time. Julie, I hear you. I see you out there. And thank you for wanting to share your story about how EWTN brought you back to faith, as it has for so many people. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk with Jeff Scheffelbein, a great Catholic businessman and entrepreneur, about faith and business. Yes, there is a connection. We can be in the business world and have a deep faith at the same time. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we meet again, have a safe and blessed July 4th holiday, and may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.